In prayer. Pray for our revival meeting starting this morning. Pray that the Lord will bring us folks into the services. We'll have a good time of revival. And that God will speak to us and give us what we stand in need of. All right, Brother Buddy, you lead us in prayer, please.
Our Father in heaven, we truly thank you for this Lord's day. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Father, we thank you for the day that our Savior died upon the Calvary's cross, shed his precious blood for us that we could have life and that we could have it more abundantly. Father, we pray that you'd bless the services today, bless Brother Church. Father, as he begins the revival, prepare our hearts for the revival. Pray, Lord, that you touch those that may be here this morning or not feeling well and sick, Lord. Pray that, Lord, you would give them a healing touch upon their body. Father, I pray that you're blessed. And Lord, we pray that we'd see souls saved during the revival.
Yes.
And Father, someone come to know thee as our personal Lord and Savior. Help our loved ones get in before it's too late. Lord, we pray. And we'll thank and praise you.
Amen. Let's be seated. Pray for the choir at this time.
Yonder in the skies, what a day.
176 choir. The 176, all count settled.
Today. Before we go any farther, this is Memorial Day weekend, and we thank the Lord for the men and women that have served to give us the protection and safety that we have. I'm very bothered by the fact that we have liberals who don't think it's necessary to have people who are supporting our borders and giving us freedom and seem to minimize the life or the lives that have been paid for the cause of our freedoms. Freedom costs. People don't always seem to understand that. I have a hard time when I see people who wear the flag on their rear end.
Amen.
That shows disrespect, not just to our country, but to the men and women who gave their lives for us. So let's take just a few moments, and we're going to stand, and we're going to do our pledges. We're going to do a pledge to the American flag, to the Christian flag, and to the Bible, God's holy word. So if you'll stand with me to the American flag. In case you don't know the pledges, they're in the inside of your hymn book, okay? All right. Attention. Salute. Pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
To the Christian flag, attention, salute, pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the Christian flag and to the Savior for whose kingdom it stands, one Savior, crucified, risen,
and coming again with life and liberty for all who believe. I'm going to ask the preacher here to take his Bible and hold it up, and we'll salute the flag of the Bible for which our freedom is given to us in Christ, to the Word of God. Attention, salute, pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the Bible, God's holy Word. I will make it a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I will hide His Word in my heart that I might not sin against God.
All right, thank you. Let's turn for our fellowship song to hymn number 485. I can think of no more song any more appropriate than Revive Us Again. We need to pray, God, give us a good old-fashioned moving in our hearts and in our lives. So let's sing the first, second, and then we'll fellowship and come back on the last, 485. Ready? Start off our revival meeting. Still got some folks walking in the door. Amen. Praise the Lord for people coming, hearing the word. It was busy around Ringgold yesterday, from what I understand. Had a big party yesterday, and then had a get-together over at Miss Teresa's, and just that kind of thing, and my discomfort was I couldn't come and eat. And I tell you, food and I, hey, we've been associated for a long time together, and I don't like these estranged separations. But I'm glad everybody had a good time yesterday. All right, let's go ahead and pray for Miss Teresa. She's going to come and sing for us this morning.
My burden was so heavy, and no one seemed to care. My life was filled with sorrow. I fell on my knees in prayer. And when I called in secret on heaven's glory line, it was there I got an answer. Heaven answers right on time. I just heard from heaven, Jesus answered on the line. I just heard from heaven, now my troubles are all behind. I just heard my Savior whisper, my child, you're not alone. I just heard from heaven, and everything is all right now. Paul and Silas had been beaten, many stripes along the way. When from their inner prison at midnight began to pray, and when they started singing, prison doors swung open wide. They had heard from heaven, the power of God was on their side. I just heard from heaven, Jesus answered on the line. I just heard from heaven, and now my troubles are all behind. I just heard my Savior whisper, my child, you're not alone. I just heard from heaven, and everything is all right now. I just heard from heaven, Jesus answered on the line. I just heard from heaven, and now my troubles are all behind. I just heard my Savior whisper, my child, you're not alone. I just heard from heaven, I just heard from heaven, I've just heard from heaven, and everything is all right now.
All right, thank you, Miss Teresa. I'm glad everything is all right when you talk to the Father. Amen. It's good to see you today in the house of the Lord. And good to see a good number today. We've got just got some folks that went downstairs and took a passel of young people down. So pray for them as they're ministering to the young people down there. Let's pray for them. We've got some that slipped out trying to get our cookout ready. So remember them also. So we've got a good number. You almost think it's homecoming today. And so I appreciate so much you doing that. Appreciate you being here. Appreciate it. Good to see the young. We got some young families here, some young men and women. I appreciate that so much. In this day and time, our young people are being sucked away into false teaching. And it's always exciting to see young men and young women in God's house. And so I appreciate each one of them being here today. when I was praying about this revival services, I prayed and asked the Lord to lay upon my heart who He would have to bring the message. And Brother Daniel Church came to my mind and was in my mind probably for 3 months as I prayed about him coming and preaching our revival meeting. I appreciate so much men like Brother Fry and Dr. Billy Martin who have been faithful in serving the Lord. These men are 79 years of age and still holding the fort, and I thank God for it. But you know what we need to see? We need to see that there are young men that love God and are serving the Lord. And I want other young men and young ladies to see that we have. Now, the gospel and church isn't just for, excuse my plainness of speech, old people. You hear me? It's for everybody. And it's especially needful to see young couples raising families and giving their lives to Jesus Christ. And we need to see that. And so I appreciate the fact that Brother Daniel Church is here. I've known him for a good number of years, taught him in Bible college down in Greensboro, and we've enjoyed good fellowship. And he pastored down in Walnut Cove for a good number of years. He's not pastoring at this particular time, but I had the privilege when I was in evangelism of being able to minister in his church. It was a good church, and I thank Brother Daniel for his fellowship. And so the Lord just burdened my heart to have him. I believe he's the man for the hour. So I want you to be sure and be in prayer for him. Now, we will be eating around 12-ish, something like that, or at least we'll go back and be have our fellowship time and enjoy, and then about 2 o'clock we'll be coming back. And this afternoon at 2 o'clock, God's Desert Rose will be singing, so we're looking forward to them coming. Then on Monday night, we have Brother James Lane. I got that name right, didn't I? James Lane. He's sung here before, and so he'll be singing on Monday night, and then Brother Gary Walker Clark. I have not met this brother, but Brother Buddy speaks highly of him, and so we'll look forward to him coming on Tuesday night, and then probably some of the home folk will be singing on Wednesday night. So keep these things in mind, and be in prayer, and be in your place 7 o'clock each night for the revival effort. All right, you pray for Brother Daniel as he comes and gives us the word of the Lord this morning.
Well, it's good to be in God's house today. It's good to see everybody here. And what a blessing it is, amen, to be able to come and worship the Lord. And I thank the Lord for his goodness and mercy. I appreciate Brother Van. He's mentioned how long we've known each other. I'm saying 13 or 14 years. So I graduated high school in 97 and went to the Bible Institute there in Greensboro, and that's where I met Brother Van at. I don't recall meeting him before then. If it happened, it was unnoticeable. Of course, if you've ever met Brother Van, you usually notice it. But I appreciate him, appreciate his fellowship. We supported him when he was in evangelism at the church I pastored, and certainly he was a blessing there and has been a blessing to me, he and Sister Darlene and Bethany, who is absent today for some unknown reason. I'm not knocking any of that. But Van said she's got it bad, so apparently. So I don't guess anybody can talk her out of it either. I'm sure you've tried. I know He spent much time. He's getting closer to the Lord now that his daughter's getting closer to moving away. He's praying it doesn't happen, amen? And certainly when your kids grow up, everybody seems to, when they're growing up, you want to get them out, get them up, and get them gone. And then when they grow up, you wish they'd come back home. And at least that's what my parents tell me. But somebody said one time, you spend the first 2 years teaching them how to walk and talk, and the rest of their life teaching them to sit down and shut up. So I think that's how it goes. And I never learned the latter. I did learn the former, though. I have learned to walk and talk. Sometimes I was telling Brother Van this week, I felt like a walking zombie. I worked, finished up yesterday. We did 67 hours this week and had 120-some hours on the last 2 weeks. And So it's heating and air season, so I'm busy. But I've been all over the place, but I'm thankful to be here this morning. Appreciate your prayers. Pray for my wife. She's not backslidden. She's went out of town. She's had this trip. They schedule a trip with her family every year on this week, and they go off together, her and her sisters, and that's where they are. And they'll be coming back late tonight, but she'll be with me tomorrow night, the Lord willing. And I certainly appreciate her. And I told her this morning, I was on the phone, I said, you know, I never realized how empty this place is. And I went in there, you know, you fellas, you understand what I'm talking about. You go in the shower and there's 15 bottles of something lined across the wall. And then there's, you know, on the sink, there's a box of this and a case of that. And there's a curler for this and a flattener for that. I don't know how you can curl and flatten the same style hair. But anyway, that's what happens. I walked in there this morning and the entire sink was empty. And there was my shampoo in the shower. I said, wow. It's just a big house. It got bigger. So I told her, I said, this place is empty. You need to come home. And so she'll be coming home tonight. Lord willing, you pray for them as they travel. And certainly pray for the meeting. I've been in prayer. And in a lot, Brother Van, understand when I say this, in confusion about what to preach. I want to be a blessing. I want to be a help and encourage you. And I want to be excited about the things of God. You know, a lot of preachers, when they come in, they feel it as though it is their responsibility to enforce the Word of God. They feel as though they are God's enforcers and they're going to preach or tell what it is that they feel like you should do. I'm not that way. I don't try to lord over God's heritage. I learned a long time ago, you can't make anybody do anything. I can't do that. If that was so, I'd make everybody I ever meet get saved and live right. And you can't do that. You can't hardly make your kids mine. Most of the time, it's hard to do that. Imagine trying to get a bunch of adults together and do what you want them to do. It's a tough thing for a preacher because that's a humanistic mentality, is to try to make people do something. And I can't make you get revived. I can't make you get excited about the things of God. Those are things I cannot do. But what I can do is do my best to promote the Word of God, to present the Word of God to you, and I can pray that God will take what I say and stir your heart with it so that it'll be more than just a feeling we have during the services. It'll be more than just something that we have on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday night. Say, boy, it's been good to be here. We'll see you next Sunday. But it'll be something that I say something, God will speak to your heart and say something that you carry away from here that'll help you down the road. Amen. Turn with me this morning, the book of Numbers, chapter number 14, and also the book of Joshua, chapter number 14. I thought about this week, and I had planned all week long on preaching something else this morning. But Friday afternoon, as I was coming back from Southern Pines, I was thinking about this Memorial Day weekend, and this man came to my mind and to my heart, and I have not been able to get away from it. And I trust today the Lord will help us as we preach out of these verses of Scripture to your heart today, and trust that God will give us something that will be a blessing down the road and through our hearts today. The book of Numbers, chapter number 14, and verse number 24, the Bible says, "But my servant Caleb, because he hath another spirit with him, and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it." Now turn with me over to the book of Joshua, chapter number 14, and I want to begin reading here in verse number 6. The Bible said, "The children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephthune, the Kenzanite, said unto him, Thou knowest the thing the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, and he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, I am this day 85 years old. That's 85 years old. And listen to what this 85-year-old man says in verse number 11. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. Now, as we read these verses of Scripture this morning, we find that in Numbers chapter number 14 is where God is pronouncing judgment on the children of Israel for their failure to cross over at Kadesh Barnea. At this point, Caleb is 45 years old, and he is one of two men that came back of the 12 that said, we be well able to take the land. And Caleb was a man who in that day believed God and followed the Lord. And we see that God said in our text in verse number 24 that he would inherit this land that he had went and spied out, the part that he had went and seen and come back and gave report about. And because the Bible said, because he wholly followed the Lord God. And that was his reward for being faithful. And I think about this day that we celebrate. We celebrate Memorial Day. And we think about the men and women maybe who have gone and served in foreign wars and have gone and served in foreign countries in our military and have given their lives. And we think about that there are memorials all around this country, all over our nation's capital, all in this area. As a matter of fact, I just heard about one of the memorial monuments getting knocked down last week. If anybody's ever been to Reedsville, North Carolina, you know there's a big Confederate soldier downtown, and some truck van or somebody hit that monument, which is about 30 or 40 feet high, and knocked it down. It's been knocked over. Now they're deciding on what they want to do about this monument that's been knocked over or knocked down. And really it brings a sadness to my heart to see these things, these monuments and memorials to men who gave their life for their countrymen and for their families, these memorials being taken down. But there may be memorials that have over the years grown a little dim and a little dark. If you've ever been in a cemetery and seen some of those old tombstones, you can barely read what they say on them. You can barely read the names. You can barely read the dates. Men and women who died over 100 years ago. And you sit there and you wonder what kind of life that they had, and what kind of person that they were, and what kind of things that they did, that someone set this memorial, this monument up to let everyone know that this individual lived these certain amount of years. And some memorials say in loving memory. Or some monuments say on the headstone, on the tombstone, some of them say beloved father or darling daughter or loving wife. And these memorials and these monuments that people put up are memories of the individuals who lie beneath the dirt and their lives. And so we think about this Memorial Day, the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, Arlington National Cemetery, the Row of Crosses, I've never been there. I'd like to go there someday and see that great cemetery for which many men have given their lives and been honored to be buried in that cemetery. But I've been to some Confederate cemeteries here in the South, and these rows of monuments of people who have died in service to their country and fellow men. Caleb is one of these men. He didn't die in the war, but he lived through the war, and he was a great warrior. And here at the age of 85, he said, "I'm just as strong as I've ever been. I'm just as determined as I've ever been." Well, he said, "My strength is now for war, both to go out and to come in." I'm thankful for men of God. As Brother Van had no idea what I was going to preach this morning, but I could not have had a better introduction for the message that the Lord laid on my heart today. When I think about the men that's gone on before me, y'all pardon me, I'm going to take my jacket off because I'm already hot. I've been hot and sweaty all week long. I'm trying my best not to be this morning. But when I think about the men who have lived and stood in pulpits and preached down through the years that I grew up listening to, I think about my heroes in the faith, men like Dr. Lee Robertson, who at the age of, in the latter days of his life, in his late 90s, Dr. Robertson was driving across this country. I didn't say flying, I didn't say being driven. I said at the age of 96 years old, Dr. Lee Robertson was driving himself and his wife across this country preaching the good word of God. I think about men like Brother Fry and Brother Martin that Brother Van mentioned a while ago. These men that have stood and preached the Bible and are still standing and preaching the word of God. I thank God for them. I thank God for their heritage. I thank God for men whose books I've read, whose lives I've learned about, and who I don't know but I admire because of what's been said and what's been told about them through the annals and the pages of history and what God has given us as a heritage, amen, as a monument and as a memorial. And I'm going to look this day on the life of Caleb and see what a memorial this man left behind. Caleb, you could say just a few things by way of introduction. He was a friend. Boy, he was a good friend. You think about the 12 men that went over there, and only two of them came back and said, "We're able to do it." And those two men became friends and stayed friends. They were friends from the time they left the land of Egypt to the day that they died. And here in Joshua chapter number 14, we see Joshua's friend standing in front of him and telling him, "You know what Moses said to me. You were there. You witnessed." He said, "I've been faithful to you as a friend. I've been faithful to God. And I want to keep on. And I want my inheritance. I want what's been given to me." What a testimony you had that he was a friend. Secondly, you could say most definitely he was a fighter. He never backed down from a battle because he knew that God was for him. He said, "We be well able." Let me say something. They were not well able. This was a ragtag bunch of slaves that were not born for war. They were not raised for war. They were not taught the ways of war. But Caleb said, "We be well able to take the land of the Canaanites." Why did he say that? Because he believed God was able to give the land to him. Not only that, but he was a follower. The Bible says in our text, as we said, the Bible said, God said. It's interesting to see in the Word of God what God says about people. God said that Caleb wholly followed him. Caleb is a man that a lot of people overlook in the Bible. Understand something about Caleb. Caleb was not chosen to be the leader of Israel. Joshua was chosen. You know, Caleb was not and is not a type of Christ in the Word of God. You understand what a type is? A type is something that is similar to, that points to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Joseph was a type of Christ. Isaac is a picture of Christ. the lambs, the sacrifices, all types of pictures in the tabernacle, in the wilderness, of all the things that are done, and looking through the Old Testament prophecies. But Caleb is not involved in any of that. We don't find where Caleb is a general. We don't find where he's a leader of a garrison. We don't find where anywhere in all the Bible of Caleb's life where God gave him anything to do in particular. He's been sent as a spy, we know that. He was a friend of Joshua's, we know that. But other than that, other than what we're going to see this morning about the life of Caleb, there's not a lot. But you know what? Just because he wasn't in the forefront, and just because he wasn't the one that was leading, and just because he wasn't the one that God chose to do this or do that with, did not hinder him at all. It did not stop him in any way, shape, form, or fashion. Praise God, we need some Calebs in the house of God who don't care whether they're in front, who don't care whether they get to preach or teach or sing in the choir, who don't care if they get recognition or don't get recognition, but they're ready and willing and able to serve God whenever that they can. That's Caleb's testimony this morning. That's a good testimony to have. It's a good thing to be a man that has a memorial that he never gave the preacher one day's problem, that he never split a church, that he was always on time, that he was always available when somebody asked him to do something. Listen, I want God to know that I love him, but more than that too, I want people to know that I love them and that I'll do what I can for them. I appreciate the poster. I told Brother Van, I said, who vandalized that picture off of the internet and put it on that poster? And he's pointed them out. And so I'm going to sue him for copyright infringement. That is a copyrighted photo. No, I'm kidding. You should have seen the look on her face. She's like. You know, you didn't have to put my face on the poster. You probably chased more people away. But you know, just because your face isn't on a poster somewhere doesn't mean anything. I don't think Caleb's face ever got put on a poster. His name never got put on a marquee. But boy, did he ever serve God. Did he ever do something for the Lord? He's a follower. I want to say three things about the life of Caleb. And I'll be done. We'll go eat some food. Amen. I can't even get an amen off of eating food. Number one, I want to talk about the faithfulness of Caleb. Look what it says, and you don't have to turn there, but in Numbers chapter number 13 and verse number 30, Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able." Now understand in Numbers chapter number 13, these 10 men have stood in front of the nation of Israel, in front of Moses and all the leaders. And they have said, we are grasshoppers in the eyes of the giants of the land of Canaan. We are small in number, we are small in size, and we are unable to take this land that God has promised us. The God that parted the Red Sea, the God that killed Pharaoh, the God that brought the plagues upon the nation of Egypt, the God that killed the firstborn of every household in the land of Egypt in one night, is not able, they said, to give us this land. The God that to this point in their life has turned bitter water into sweet and gave them water out of a rock. To this point in their life, this God has performed miracle after miracle after miracle, and these 10 men said, we're not able to do it. Why? Because they were discouraged by the giants. You know what? Can I say something to you this morning? You have giants in your life that will discourage you. You know what a giant is? A large individual. And large individuals, they cast big shadows, and sometimes we get scared of shadows. We get afraid because there's a bill coming due. I know, because I've had a few bills due. We get afraid because we get a bad report from a doctor. We get afraid. We get worried because something comes our way that says, you can't do this or you can't do that. But I'm glad for the men, few in number, that when the giants come their way, it doesn't discourage them. I'm telling you this morning, those giants in your life are nothing. They're nothing in the face of God. Over the book of Psalms, chapter number 77, you read that passage of Scripture, the psalmist David, he's beginning to talk about he cried in the night in verse number 1. And 2, he cries and begs and pleads God to take away this infirmity in his life. By the time he gets to verse number 10, he said, "Will thou cast off forever? Will you remove your joy from me forever?" In verse number 11, he comes to this realization that even though this problem is great in his life, and he may never get past this, it may be the death of him, he said, "But I will rejoice." And what is he going to rejoice in? The things that have happened in days gone by. I believe it's in verse number 18. David said, "The waters saw thee, O God, and were afraid." When Israel came up to the Red Sea, Israel was looking at the Red Sea and said, "Oh dear God, we cannot get across the sea." They looked to the right and they saw wilderness. They said, "We can't flee into the wilderness." They looked to the left and they saw mountains. Said, "We'll never make it into the mountains." And they saw behind them Pharaoh and his army. And they said, "We'll never get away from Pharaoh. He's going to slaughter us all and put us in slavery." While Israel was looking all around them and being afraid, Israel's obstacle was looking at God and being afraid. He said, "The waters saw thee, O God, and were afraid." And when God moved upon the waters, they moved out of Israel's way, and God brought them across on dry ground. Let me say something. Your obstacle is all you see in your life. But Caleb didn't look at the obstacle as being the giant. He looked at God as being the giant. And God encouraged him. And when we see God as being bigger than all of our problems, we understand that there's nothing that can defeat us. Really not us, but God. He was not discouraged by the giants. He's not disquieted by the doubters. See, our problem is when we get a majority against us, we shut up. We be quiet. "Well, I don't want to say anything. I know I'll just cause this big fuss. Down at work, you know, if they start doing this, you know, we often run into folks, and you know, you may be the only one in your family, one of the only ones in your family that's in church this morning. I don't know. I have a preacher friend of mine, Brother Stacy Lane. Brother Stacy, I don't know if you know Brother Stacy or not. If you ever met Brother Stacy, his hair is a little bit redder than the pews here. Brother Stacy is a good man of God. But Brother Stacy's he's got 6 brothers and sisters, his mother and father. He's the only one of his family saved. He's a black sheep of the family because he's saved and he's a preacher. And he traveled all across the country for years with Brother Tom Hayes. And he's a great preacher, great man of God. And I appreciate his life. But here he is in the middle. He's the only one in his family that's saved. Try to witness to his parents and they won't have nothing to do with him. His brothers and sisters don't have nothing to do with him because he loves God. Listen, you might be the only one in your community. You might be the only one at your job. You might be the only one. Don't let those people who doubt God and doubt God's existence keep you quiet. Just because you're the only one doesn't mean you're wrong. Amen? If for one second you believe, let me just say this. I'm not going to try to dwell on a negative, but I want you to understand something. There's a church in Houston, Texas. Church, I use that term loosely. That this morning they are seating 40,000 people. They're meeting in the arena that the Houston Rockets used to meet in. And their pastor, I use that term loosely as well, I call him Smiley, because that's all he does. He gets up and he don't have a Bible, because it's not the King James Bible. He gets up and he said, "This is my Bible." Y'all know who I'm talking about yet? He smiles all the time. Smiles so much to make you sick. But I'm going to tell you something. You ever listen to Joel say anything? I called his name, didn't I? You ever listen to him? I'm going to tell you what he's going to say. He's not going to say anything about hell. He's not going to say anything about the blood of Christ. He's not going to say anything about salvation. He's not going to tell you you need to come and repent of your sin, because he wants you to keep coming and giving him money. He didn't build that church. His daddy built the church. He admitted on Larry King that he may not be called to preach, but his daddy just gave it to him anyway. Compared to that crowd, we ain't the majority. But that don't mean we're wrong. You know, there's a big crowd in this country that says this country's wrong for wanting to be godly. That its godly principles that it was founded on were wrong, and they're outdated, and it's time to get away from that, and we need to progress. I've got so sick of that word I can't stand it. Progress. I ain't going to progress. Why? Because this Bible tells me what I'm doing is right. I'm trying to live right and trying to honor God. And you want to go another way, that's wrong. Just because I'm in the minority. If you think for one second that the church is in the majority, you are sorely mistaken. You're in the minority this morning. But just because we're in the minority doesn't mean that we need to be quiet. It doesn't mean that we need to all sit on our hands. No, it means more so that we need to stand up and declare like Caleb did. We are able, he said, to do God's will in our life. Number two, we see the faithfulness of Caleb. Secondly, we see the favor of Caleb. The salvation of his life in Numbers chapter number 26 and verse number 65. Listen to what God said. Now this, you're talking about hearing from God, hearing a word from the Lord, sister, son, this morning. I want to hear from God too, amen? But listen to what God said in Numbers chapter 26. For the Lord has said of them, these are those doubters that Caleb was stood against, they shall surely die in the wilderness. And there was not a man left of them above the age of 40. Remember what God said, anybody above the age of 40 in the nation of Israel, y'all are going to wander in the wilderness for 40 years and you will die. He said in Numbers chapter 14, he said, your carcasses shall fall. How'd you like to hear God say that? Listen to the end of this verse. Say, except. Except who? Caleb and Josh. Why? Because he followed the Lord. Because he was faithful. His life was saved because he was faithful. There's a lot of people whose lives have been saved because they were faithful. Even when everybody around them wasn't. There's a little woman by the name of Rahab, the harlot. Oh, what an awful thing to call somebody. And somebody called somebody that this week on the radio, and they got docked a week's pay and they're off the radio. What an awful thing to say about this woman, Rahab the harlot. Well, what do we know Rahab as? We know Rahab hid the spies. We know Rahab believed God. We also know that Rahab got married. And she had a son named Boaz. You say, what's the big deal about that? Well, Boaz had a son named Salmon. Salmon had a son named Obed. Obed had a son named Jesse. Jesse had a son named David. And David became king. And old Rahab the harlot Her life was saved because she was faithful. I'm telling you this morning, you say, what do you want in your life? What more do you want in your life other than this? You want your children to grow up in a safe home. You want your family to be saved. You want your job to be saved. You want to provide some security. You want to give something that they'll have something when you're gone. If you want that, be faithful to God. Do like Caleb did and stand for God, even though it's not popular, even though it's not right sometimes in the eyes of the world, but stand for God and God will save your life. He'll save your kids' lives. He'll save your home. He'll save if you let Him, amen. The salvation of his life and then the strength of his life, as we read in chapter number 14, verse 11, he said, I am yet strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so my strength now. For war, both to go out and to come in. I wish I could say that. I'm only 32. Yeah. I'm trying to remember. Am I 32? Yeah. I ain't turned 33 yet. But it's, hey, y'all look at me funny, but you get a certain age, you forget. She forgot how old she was. See, she was still trying. She said, I'm 32. She's counting right now in her head. What year was I born? Let's see. 5 and 10 is 20. No. But we wonder about these things. And, somebody asked me, one of my best friends, Paul, my pastor's son. He asked me, he said, hey, there's a church league, softball league you want to play. I ain't never played softball. I played basketball in high school. You can't tell it, but I did. I played basketball in high school. I used to be a lot thinner than I am now. And don't look at me like that. You were too. But I used to be a lot thinner than I am now. And I played basketball in high school. I used to play the whole game. I never sat on the bench. I started the game, finished the game. And I ran up and down the court. And I was in shape. And I went to play softball the first game. First time at bat. I swung as hard as I could. I hit the ball 4 feet. I said, shoot, this is softball. You got to run this out. This is not professional major league sports in baseball. You run it out. You know why? Because these boys, if they were good, they'd be playing professional baseball or minor league baseball. They can't catch and they can't throw. And we can't run. So this is what we do. So I said, I got to dig. I stepped and I dug. And when I did, something went right here in the back of my leg. It's called a hamstring. Man, that thing hurts. And I said, well, I'm glad I got that one out of the way. Of course, I was like, well, I'll be out by the time I get to first base. I'm going to leg it out. I legged it out with a bad hamstring. They threw the ball, and the ball almost hit me in the back of the head. It would have hit me in the back of the head had not the first baseman hit me in the head with his glove trying to catch it. So I was safe. I didn't want to be safe. My leg hurts. I don't want to be safe. I want to go sit down and stretch my hamstring out because it hurts. We finished the game that night. I went home and I put ice on it. I put everything I had in the house on it. I think I rubbed some leaves on it. Heard something about it on the internet. Did whatever I could. I hurt for a week. And then, of course, Saturday rolled around. We got another game. I said, well, I stretched out good. Got that out of the way. I got that hamstring pulled out of the way. I'll be good the rest of the year. First at bat, second game. Pulled the other hamstring going to first base. Yeah, that's right. I forgot about the other one. Had to pull both of them. Yep, that's right. We's off this weekend, though. I'll be rested up. I can pull both of them again next week. I've never pulled a hamstring in my life. I've dislocated my ankle when I was in high school, but I pulls and strains and tears. No, you get hurt when you're 18, 20 years old. You hit something and you go, shake it out. You get 30 years old, you hurt something, you go like that, you're liable to throw your hip out trying to shake the pain off. You good? I'm good. Caleb at 85 said, I'm ready for war. How many people have you known, spiritually speaking, they pulled a hamstring and they quit? I'm done. They get a little hangnail. I'm finished. Cal Ripken Jr. set the all-time record for consecutive games played. Ridiculous the amount of games he played in without missing a game. And now I heard the other day somebody's on the disabled list because they have some kind of hangnail. You know Cal Ripken Jr. You know Caleb, as a lot of people, one little thing gets them out. And they're done. Or I had a fellow tell me one time, he said, Pastor, he said, I think I've done all I can do. It's time for me to step down. The first thing in my mind was, step down from what? What do you do? But no, I didn't. He wanted to step down as a Sunday school teacher. And I thought he's older than yours. I said, well, I understand that. And then I thought about it later. I said, no, I really don't understand it. I really don't understand quitting before it's time to. I don't understand stopping before it's time to stop. He said, well, preacher, he's an older man. Yeah, he's an older man. Caleb was 85. And he said, give me that. And I understand, Caleb's not saying I want to go be general. I'm not going to be supervisor. No, he's going to fight. He's going to war. He's going to battle. There's a lot of people that's not like Caleb. They quit when it was time to retire. You know, retirement really is a new concept. Only since World War II really has the concept of retirement being in vogue. Everybody wants to retire. You know what the old timers say, when you stop doing stuff, you stop living. How many people you ever seen retire and then a little bit of time, they go? They're done. They retired. I don't make enough money to retire. And I don't want to retire. I want to keep going as long as I can go, as hard as I can go. My retirement plan will be when they put me in the ground, as far as serving the Lord is concerned. That's what I want. That's what we need. It's the kind of life we need. I've got to finish up. We see the favor of Caleb, the fullness of Caleb. Then we see finally we see the fullness of Caleb. I want to talk about the reward that he gained in verse number 13 and 14. The Bible says Joshua blessed him and gave Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron for an inheritance. Therefore, Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto this day, because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. There's a reward that he gained for the life that he lived. There's a reward to be gained for you and me for the life that we live. One of these days we'll stand before God and we'll give an account to him, the things, the deeds done in this body, whether they be good or bad. And we'll gain a reward or we'll lose reward for what we've done. Finally this morning, I want to talk about the riches that he gave. And this is, if you miss everything else this morning, please hear this. Judges chapter number 1, verses 12 down through verse number 15. Bible says in verse 12, Caleb said, he that smiteth Kirjah Sefer and taketh it, to him will I give Acacia, my daughter, to wife. Now, Acacia, his daughter, man came up, did what Caleb asked to do, and he passed his daughter off to that man as a reward. She comes to him in verse number 15. Listen to what she says to Caleb. Give me a blessing, for thou hast given me a south land. Give me also springs of water. And Caleb gave her the upper springs and the nether springs. You missed all I've said today. Please hear this. Caleb's daughter gets married and she comes back to her daddy. She said, Daddy, thank you for what you've given me. You've given me land. You've given me something I can hold on to. But she said, Daddy, I need something that will refresh me. The Bible said that he gave her the upper springs and the nether springs. The upper springs speaks of a spring coming out of the water. You ever seen a spring come out of the side of a mountain? Have you ever been to Sweetwater, Tennessee? Hey, man, I love going to Tennessee. That's where I'm from. I love the state of Tennessee. You go up to Sweetwater, Tennessee, there are certain places up in Sweetwater that you can take a pipe, drive it into the side of the mountain, stay there long enough, and water will start flowing out of the end of that pipe. And it ain't just good water. It's good, cold mountain water, filtered by the rock as it comes down. You don't get any better water in the world. That speaks of that spring. And everybody that knew where she lived at knew that there was a spring above her house. But then the Bible said that he gave her the nether springs. He said, what are the nether springs? The nether springs are the springs that nobody else knew about. They were hidden away, and Caleb told his daughter where they were so she could have them. One day when they put Caleb to ground and they laid him to rest, it was the nether springs that her daddy had given her that helped her go on. Oh, I'm telling you something. When these men of God that we've mentioned today, when they go on, it'll be those nether springs, those springs that the world doesn't see and doesn't know about, those Holy Ghost waters that those men of God have passed on to you and me, or that we pass on to the next generation. That'll be a blessing. I believe as she stood around her daddy's grave that day, she may have sang something like this. I may not have riches as some others may, but I had a mother who knew how to pray. Maybe there's something I missed in my youth. Oh, but I had a father who stood for the truth. And I have a goodly heritage. I'm blessed with things you can't see. I have a goodly heritage that is worth far more to me. You know, today my daddy's a preacher. I sing a second verse of that. And if in the future my parents pass on to live in that city they've come to call home, they may not leave me the wealth of this world, but I will remember their God and His word. And I have a goodly heritage. I'm blessed with some things you can't see. I have a goodly heritage that is worth far more to me. I'm telling you this morning, I want a memorial like Caleb had. I want to be able to pass something on. I want somebody to look back on this meeting and say one day, boy, I got something out of that little preacher boy out of North Carolina come to our church. You know, I may not be anything, and I'm telling you, there's nobody beating my door down trying to have me come preach revival meeting for them. I'm preaching, filling in for a church that's out of a pastor right now. And I'm a Sunday school teacher for my pastor. That may not be much for anybody, but if that's what God wants me to do, it's enough for me. And one of these days when I'm gone, I want to be said I never gave my pastor a minute's trouble. I stood up for what was right, and I had something to give to my kids. Had something to pass on that they could hold on to be a blessing to them. What if you leave today? If you were to leave this world today, what would you leave behind as a memorial? What would you have to pass on? I'm not talking about an heirloom. I'm not talking about an inheritance. I'm talking about a testimony. What would you leave? Because you know what? Those memorials, those inheritances, as I talked about before, they fade with time. But a testimony lasts forever. I'm finished. Y'all come. I'm going to tell you this while I'm there. Come, first of invitation this morning. Down in Travelers Rest, South Carolina, there's a church. It's called Taylor's Memorial Baptist Church. In the cemetery of this church, there's a couple of tombstones that sit next to each other. There's two brothers. One brother lived to be the age of 22. The other died at the age of 19. I don't know if Brother Van may have heard me tell this or not. On these tombstones, on the brother that lived, the young man who was a member of the church there, and his last name is Taylor. Obviously, his family started that church. On his tombstone, it's hard to see, but there's a picture of a hand pointed up. It's got his name, a hand pointing up. What a testimony. What a memorial. But over on the other tombstone, his brother's next to him, is a hand with chains wrapped around it, pointing down. My God, that his life was such that his own family said, this is where our son is going. What kind of memorial will you leave for those who come on behind you? Let's stand this morning. Brother Van, you come. As every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm going to pray. Brother Van's going to come and give an invitation this morning. If you need to come today, I pray you would. Father, today, Lord, I thank you for your mercy and grace. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your love. I pray that you take this message. Help us, Lord, to live a life with a memorial, a testimony that might bring honor and glory to your name. In Jesus' name I pray. Let's sing, brother buddy.
Number 249, just as I am. Number 249.
Oh,
encourage you to do today what you will be glad you did 100 years from today. You say, well, I'll be dead in 100 years, preacher. Well, that's probably true, but you know what? You'll be living somewhere. You'll be in heaven or in hell. Make sure you make a decision you'll be happy with when you leave this world. Nothing more important. All right, we'll let you be seated. And Brother Will and Brother Bill, will you come and receive the Lord's tithes and offerings today? Announcements. Revival, revival, revival. I thank the Lord for that good message today. What a stirring, powerful message. What we need to listen to that message and listen to God and give ourselves lock, stock, and barrel to Him. That's my passion, is to see people sell out for God, give their lives to the Lord. And I hope if you haven't done it, you will. All right, this afternoon, 2 o'clock service, God's Desert Rose will be singing. Brother Church will be preaching. If he's got anything left in it, he gave us both barrels today. So you pray, God, give him blessing and strength today, okay? All right, Brother Bill, you pray for us. For just a moment, please. I'm going to dismiss in prayer.
We thought y'all were finished. I'm so sorry. Forgive us. Church is not over yet.
We're going to dismiss in prayer, and then we're not going to ask the Lord's blessing on the food yet, because I don't know how far along things are in the fellowship hall. So when they give us the okay at the fellowship hall, then we'll ask prayer over the food there and enjoy that good time in the Lord, okay? So let's have prayer, and we'll be dismissed. Father, speak to our hearts. Thank you for your word that has been preached, and bless the rest of this day. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Lord bless you.
Thank you. seen that before.
I saw it on Facebook.
All right. Come on.
Yes.
Bill just do what the rest of them do, unhook it.
Okay.
Nobody else seems to mind doing it.